We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm Herschel Finn, and we've got a wonderful show. This is the Simchas Torah edition of the Jewish Hour. In this half hour, we'll be featuring a rebroadcast with Benjamin Epstein, wrote a book called Living in the Present, Mindful Jewish Meditation. Great book, great interview. We've got lots of Jewish Simchas Torah music throughout the show. We've got a wonderful story all the way at the end. Stay tuned for that. Some insights into the holiday of Simchas Torah. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was in Israel for talks about the situation in northern Syria. Pompeo met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Jerusalem to discuss developments in Syria and the continued need to counter the Iranian regime's de-establishment behavior in the region. Israel forces shot down a drone as it was flying near the border fence along the Gaza Strip. The drone was carrying explosives. Swastikas were spray-painted on dozens of gravestones in a Haifa cemetery for World War I casualties from the United Kingdom and its former colonies. Police are investigating. In a freak accident, 14-year-old Asha Chatzud was struck by lightning and killed on a beach in Ashkelon. Four members of the Chatzud family were also struck but survived. It's raining in Israel, which is really unusual because the rain's not supposed to start until after the Sukkah holiday. Many sukkahs were blown away, quite literally. There have, Baruch Hashem, thank God, been no casualties, but there have been some flooding reported. Federal prosecutors rejected an offer by the accused Pittsburgh synagogue gunman to plead guilty in exchange for a life sentence without the possibility of release. Prosecutors are pursuing the death penalty against the man who was accused of killing 11 worshippers at the Tree of Life Synagogue in October of 2018. And finally, unfortunately, anti-Semitic flyers were posted on the door of Temple Emmanuel in Grand Rapids. The flyers conveyed Nazi propaganda. The temple is conducting services as normal with increased security. Grand Rapids police are investigating it as a hate crime. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finn here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Benjamin Epstein. Dr. Benjamin Epstein is a psychologist. Recently wrote a book, Living in the Present, A Jewish Mindfulness Guide for Everyday Life. How are you today, Dr. Benjamin?
I'm doing very well. I'm so glad to be here, and thank you so much for the coordination. I'm really excited. Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure. Okay, so let's back up all the way to the beginning. Okay. Sure. A lot of our listening audience is not familiar with the ins and outs of Judaism. And when you think meditation, so people think Hindu, Buddhist, Eastern, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. One of the last things that they think of, the word that comes to mind, you say this and I'll say this. If you say meditation, one of the last things that they're going to say is Jewish. So what does it say in the books about Jewish meditation?
I think that I would have had that same response a few years ago as well. Growing up in yeshiva, modern Orthodox education, meditation was not something that was mentioned. It was definitely not as in vogue as it is today in the zeitgeist in general, but certainly within a Jewish framework, there really wasn't a lot of talk about it. And then I was exposed to the teachings of Rav Aryeh Kaplan Zatzal, who is probably the most prolific writer and probably the most adept individual to write about this subject, where he really opened my eyes and to anyone who's read his writings, where there has been a significant Jewish meditation tradition for thousands of years, coming from that time of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the rabbis who instituted the daily prayer, and really how our prayers were really some sort of meditative device, and how he goes through the Bible and talks about the different stories in the Bible and how they were all through meditation, and the prophets were all able to receive their prophecies because of their unbelievable skill as meditators. So really, we have an extremely rich tradition, which through the course of our history has sort of been watered down. And what I'm trying to do in my own way is just to reclaim what we've always had. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel.
Interesting. Would you say then, Dr. Epstein, that...
Benji's good.
If given put into a proper meditative state, a person could achieve prophecy?
I believe so. I mean, I'm not going to be that one to do it, but the Pia Zesner Rebbe, the Hashem Yikom Damo, the Kolonimus Kalma Shapiro, who was killed Kiddush Hashem in the Holocaust, and Rav Kook, spent a lot of time with their writings believing that Nevuah is something that is possible. The PSS is Rebbe Mavo Sharv speaks about this very specifically, where we think Nevuah is prophecy, is some sort of fortune-telling device, but really it's just tapping into what does Hashem, what does our heart creator want from us right now in this moment. Even the Talmud discusses that there were, I think the number of Nevi'im at a certain time in the temple period was Kiflaim Kiyotze Mitzrayim, doubled the number of people who left Egypt, which is around 1.2 million people were Nevi'im. And that doesn't mean that they were all spouting certain, prophecies, but they were able to be really connected to what the divine will was at that very moment.
That's awesome. I never actually thought about it that way. Okay, so the Lubavitcher Rebbe in 1978 came up with a whole plea for the people should organize meditation. Yeah. At that time, transcendental meditation was becoming popular. When I was in secular high school in 1974, there was something called the TM Club. First, it was actually a TM class. And then there was like a whole hue and outcry. No, you cannot have a TM class in the school. It was very on the edge. And then it was like a TM club. And then by the time, the year after I graduated, they got rid of the TM club also because it was like the people were saying it's religion in school and et cetera, et cetera. But it was very popular to the point where you had teenagers were doing it back in the year in the early mid-70s. And then 1978, Lubavitcher Rebbe said, please, somebody formulate something where they don't need to necessarily transcend out of themselves, but they should formulate, do it in a Jewish way. So what's different? Where's the focus in Jewish meditation then, Benji?
The focus is on God, meaning I think I'm not an expert in comparative religions, but I don't think Buddhism requires any sort of beliefs. I mean, maybe they do, and I'm just not familiar with them. I think that's one of the they're more accessible because they don't require you have any sort of dogmatic traditions or beliefs. Where in Judaism, the whole point of meditation is to be davuk to Hashem, is to attach ourselves to our Creator. And that's also getting more, talk about getting closer to God, but getting closer to God is being more similar to God. And our prayers to be ascending means for us to be more inwardly gazing and getting in touch with our essence, with our neshama. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe is definitely somebody who, as much as I can't say that I'm versed in the Sichos at all, but as a personal role model, as the Nasi Ador, it's hard to fathom that an individual like that was so tapped into everything, and he recognized that there's a real strong need for it. But I mean, specifically, the school of Chabad is very much into a contemplative tradition, and spending hours and hours of his bonus, and to just really contemplate these things, and these not just physical things, spiritual things, and to do it in an in-depth way and in a methodological way, which is it's hard for the uninitiated, but there's certainly a gateway to do that. And Tanya is a wonderful start. Breslov is a wonderful start, but they're all trying to connect with different types of people, to connect with something that's much higher. The Mishnah in Brachos talks about the Hasidim Rishonim, the original pious men, who would spend an hour in preparation, then an hour in prayer, then an hour afterwards. What were they doing?
Go ahead, tell us.
Yeah, I'm saying, drum roll, please. They were meditating. They were meditating, and then they were able to enter into that state of either bittul, coming from whatever tradition you're coming from, of that nullification. But that nullification isn't that nothingness that I think Buddhism preaches, that nothingness of where you're only subsumed by the all, by the everything, by the mali kol amin, that which fills all worlds, and the misoveh kol amin, that which surrounds all worlds. And it sounds ethereal and it sounds flighted because it has to be experiential. But I think we need to get back to more of these training techniques, specifically in this time, for people to see Judaism as vibrant, because Judaism is a living religion, just like our God is a living religion, is a living God, Kel Chai. And I think the Lubavitcher Rebbe was alluding to that people are going to be looking for more spirituality and sustenance in this area, and says, let's do it.
Okay, this is fascinating. Okay, so the book has a subtitle where the word mindfulness is inserted. Mindfulness has become a buzzword for the last dozen years or so, maybe a little longer, that people are now doing these mindfulness things. Could you explain to the people here what's this idea of being mindful?
Well, what turned me on to mindfulness was I was in graduate school and trying to get through graduate school psychology, and these new modalities of treatment from more Eastern philosophical traditions were sort of entering into the treatment modality, and they're fascinating. To be more present, to be more aware, to be less judgmental, and we only have the present moment. It sounds trite and it sounds cutesy and it sounds like it's a fortune teller, fortune cookie type of thing. But the truth is if you're not in the present moment, then where are you really? And Buddhism has really done a fantastic job of really making this into a rigorous practice. And most spiritual traditions have some form of being more present in the moment, because that is really where you can be fully awake and fully woke. You know, the expression these days, he's woke. No, to be woke is to be living fully in the present moment. What does Judaism have to say about that is pretty much everything, whether it's the Nefesh HaChaim or the Baal HaTanya. The Olam, what does the Pasuk say? Ron Devarcha Nitzav B'Shamayim, that Hashem's right. Word is constantly supporting the earth. He talks about the Nishar Yichud Ve'amun the first book of Tanya, where he talks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God's constant influence, is perpetually recreating the world. And that's one of our fundamental, that's our beliefs, one of our beliefs. And if God was to kaviyachol, if he was to just, exit the building, now, if he was to remove his influence, then everything would revert back to absolute nothingness. So when God is bringing his constant, moment-by-moment shefa influence into the world, that's our only way of connecting to him. So we can connect to God. The only way to connect to God, which is one of our commandments, to cleave to God, is to connect to what's happening in this very moment. And that is mindfulness, is to connect to it without any judgment, without any preconceived notions, without wanting it to be any different than it already is. And it's a big avoda because our brains is a big, it's a challenge because our brains have been sort of conditioned to be focused on the future and to worry about the future and to ruminate about the past. But once we're able to get past that, then we can really be connecting to the divinity that's imbuing this present moment with its kedusha, with its holiness.
This is amazing. Anyway, our guest today is Dr. Benjamin Epstein, has written a book called Living in the Presence, A Jewish Mindfulness Guide for Everyday Life. We are talking about Jewish meditation. I'll tell a cute story. Actually, the story actually has the cute ending. So there used to be in Morristown, the yeshiva, Lubavitch Yeshiva in Morristown, there was a brilliant Rosh Yeshiva by the name of Eli Melech Tzwibo, who passed away just a couple of years ago. And he had been the Rosh Yeshiva for 50 years, without exaggeration. And every time I'd go to New York and expecting to see him, I'd always make sure I had formulated some kind of question to talk to him that I shouldn't like sound like an idiot when I'd say, hello, how are you? And so one time I came up with this question based on really a geeky law and diktuk in Jewish and Hebrew grammar, which is based on the Vav HaHipuch, you know, combining grammar deals with meditative deals. And this is the way it works in biblical Hebrew. It works. It's not used in Israeli Hebrew. But if you want to say, and he went, what you would say in Hebrew is, and he will go. And if you wanted to say, and he will go, you'd say, and he went. And then the Vav would switch it from past to present, past to future, or future to past. So I asked him, is there any way possible that a person could possibly tap into the quote-unquote Vav that's doing that? And he just looked at me and smiled and said, no, because you're always in the present. You can't get to the past or the future. Sorry. Well, so this is that kind of what you're saying is that
yeah,
the idea is to train
exactly
oneself.
That.
I'm here. Okay.
You're here. He named me.
Okay.
That's it. The Makom Asher Nimsa is Admas Kodeshu. Remove your shoes from the feet. You know, because right here, right now, and it's really something that's ineffable. Just like talking about God is, you know, the Ein Sof. There's no really way. The present moment is also something that the Maharal speaks about. This when I saw this Maharal, and I don't see that much Maharal, but I just came across it. I fell out of my chair because the Maharal says, "La kol zman ve'et l'chol chayfetz." To everything, there's a time, and every single thing. He quotes on a Medrash that a time for Adam to go into Gan Eden and to leave Gan Eden, and for Noah to build the table, leave the table, leaving the whole question about free will aside. And then it says, "Ve'et l'chol chayfetz," and a time for every season, which is a famous song. So that's, I mean, people might be familiar with it. You know, do everything, mm-hmm. turn. But the Eit L'chol Chayfetz is referring to a specific thing. And that Eit L'chol Chayfetz is the giving of the Torah. And the Eit ties into the Atah, the Hebrew word for the present, the right now, and saying that the Torah is given constantly. You can attach to the giving of the Torah constantly. It wasn't something that happened 2,000 years ago. Because, again, everything that's happening on some level is God's will, which is Torah. And so if we're able to tap into the present and... It's really challenging. But when we've had those moments where we're just feeling in sync, and it doesn't mean necessarily things are going well. We could be radically accepting a difficult experience in our lives, saying this too, right now it's like this. And saying on some level of faith also saying this is the way it's supposed to be. And that doesn't mean that a person should stay in an abusive relationship, Rahman al-Assad, a person that's struggling with alcohol or drug addiction, to say, okay, that's the way it's supposed to be. But saying very clearly that right now I'm here right now and I can still do what it is I need to be doing without saying I give up or saying it's too much. Saying right now, focusing on the here and now. And we see tzaddikim. We see the people, you know, if you ever had, I never had the privilege of having yechidus with someone like the Rebbe. But, you know, to be in the presence of someone like that. I just went to 770 this summer just to go into the office for the first time. I've been to the office for the first time. I can say this, you're feeling it. Just to be with that person, you feel like there's nothing else in the world. And the man had the weight of the world on his shoulders. But when you're in the presence of somebody who's fully realized, fully actualized, fully davuk to what's happening in the here and now, you can't help but feel like everything is the way it's supposed to be.
Indeed. We have some minutes over here, a little bit of time. Do you have like an exercise that we could do right now for somebody who's, say, a worrier? Because there are those people. Just a short exercise, something that people could walk away as they're listening to this, that they can say, "Yeah, I'm gonna do this."
one of the, it's a little bit al regal achas, you know, teach me the Torah on one leg, but it's, because all of these things are easier said than done because it's intuitive. It's intuitive, but because it's, our minds resist it, it's really hard. But one thing I would say about worrying, like a cognitive technique would be to just give yourself 15 minutes of time to worry about it. You know, say, oh, I already worried about it. I already spent my 15 minutes. You know, I put it, tie it up neatly in a box. Some people have a mental worry box, tie it up, put it back under your bed. But for this type of meditation, it would be thinking about a situation that you're worrying about and really seeing it as clearly as you possibly can. And finding yourself in a quiet room, giving yourself a few deep breaths, and then actively bringing that situation to mind that you're worrying about and seeing where you feel it in your body. And then what I do with my clients is we direct a stream of no to those feelings, no to those worries. And because what we're doing is they're already here. So what we're doing is we're sort of adding insult to injury by adding to the difficulty, because the worry is objectively psychological suffering, but we say no to it because we say we can't have these feelings. These feelings shouldn't be here. And so we'll say no to that. We'll no to that physical experience and no to that, you know, whatever you're worrying about. Because worry by definition is something that's anticipatory. It's always in the future, because if you're worried about it right now, then that's fear and you're afraid of it. It's happening right now. You're worried about something that's always happening later on. Even if it's going to be in the near future, it's still happening in the future. And you're saying no to it. And you're going to experience those, how it feels to say no to those situations. And then you're going to pause for a few minutes and then recalibrate and then bring that situation to mind again. And you're going to cultivate an attitude of yes, yes to the worry, just saying yes to it, saying Cain or Amen or I accept. I think it's Remendel Rimanover says, Vayas Cain Aaron. Aaron was constantly saying yes. Vayas Cain Aaron, Cain. So by cultivating an attitude of yes, that doesn't mean we're condoning it if someone did something wrong to us. But we're allowing it to be there. We're creating the space for it to see it clearly as it is, as just worry, just as it is, and not the mitzvah, not the reality of the situation. And then we can deal with it more effectively. And I don't know if that made a lot of sense because it was a little bit rushed, but that's something that, to say yes to the worry, is something that I would do if you want to do a 15-minute guided meditation. Now, I'm a little bit under the weather, but...
15 minutes we don't have for the segment, but...
Maybe for next time. Maybe I'll come to Detroit. How are the Tigers doing? I forgot to check.
No, don't even go there.
Okay, some witty banter about the Tigers, but I guess
they're so bad we don't even worry about them.
Okay.
So now, can't you get
kosher food in the Detroit in the Tiger Stadium? I remember seeing these.
Only on special nights. It's not like Shea Stadium or at Baltimore's Camden Yards, or at Dodger Stadium. No,
kosher brachos, all to bring us into the present moment. To make sure we're not doing things mindlessly.
There we go.
Make a bracha. Make a blessing. You pause. You make a bracha afterwards to experience that gratitude. Judaism is giving us mitzvot to connect us to the present moment, because the present moment is divinity. Okay. That's how Hashem is revealing himself right now. Ein od milvado, the way it is right now.
That's really cool. Okay, you spent a pretty interesting summer. You were in Camp Hask, which is a very special place. I get a lot of envelopes thrown at me during the course of the year, and Camp Hask is actually one of them that I don't throw away. It's for special needs children and adults. Were you implementing this type of therapy at the camp, and how did it go?
I've tried different things. It's extremely intense environment, and the staff is working 24/6. They get a day off. Not Shabbos. They get a day off. Shabbos is a Shabbos. Everyone works on Shabbos here because they're essentially parenting these unbelievable special needs individuals who are so filled with life and with their unique challenges. And it's a real incubator for Jewish leadership. It's something that we're really, really, really blown away with every summer. But I give a weekly sicha where we talk about these ideas. And because the book came out this summer, one of the campers got a hold of my book and started chanting in the diner and buy Benji's book, which became a mantra. So there's that awareness. So when I meet individually with the staff members, we're definitely talking about these sort of things, of how to be more present, be more accepting, I think you can't help but leave this place a better, more thoughtful, compassionate individual, because you are doing something. You're not doing chesed. It's a misnomer that people think they come here for the summer to do chesed, to do engage in loving kindness. What they're doing is mesiras nefesh. They're literally sacrificing their summer for someone else. And you can't help but become a better, more just accepting and empathetic and compassionate individual. And all of these things go hand in hand with that acceptance of the present moment, of being present in the here and now. And looking at your campers and seeing not them, not their difficulties, not their challenges, but seeing them as a more organic whole, of seeing them as a neshama. And then you can see yourself as a neshama. We talk about cultivating the good in ourselves to see the good in others. And that's also a real component of mindful Judaism and mindfulness in general, of that loving kindness. You know, what the Buddhists will call metta, we'll just call v'ahavta lo'reacha kamocha.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
And it starts with yourself. And it's a real hard. It's funny because the Rishonim all talk about how it's so difficult to love the other like you love yourself, because that self-love is so intuitive. But in this day and age, it's become a lot harder to love oneself. And really, people are able to focus more easily on saying the positive about someone else. But when they're looking inward, they have a lot more difficulty doing that. And that's one of the things that we really work with on the staff here, is believing in the good in themselves and believing the good in everyone, and in the Jewish people as a whole.
That is so beautiful. That is really wonderful. We want to. Our time has run up, and I could talk for another. I could fill the whole show up with this one, but the producer saying
this is my bread and butter, because I believe in it, and it's happening. I'm not going to be the one that's going to start this revolution, but I think someone's going to read my book, and really just read the way we do davening, the way we learn Torah, the way we talk to one another. With this mindset, which I think the Torah and we have is really coming from the tzaddikim of our generation, and the way to do this is to become a tzaddik, the amet kulam tzaddikim, is to believe in your goodness, to believe, and just like the Lubavitcher Rebbe tasked all of us to do. And I believe that there's going to be more changes for the positive, and I hope the book is going to be litoralist for a benefit for as many people as possible.
Okay. Benjamin Epstein, Dr. Benjamin Epstein, Benji, we want to thank you so much for coming out. Again, the book is called Living in the Presence, a Jewish Mindfulness Guide for Everyday Life, and it's available. It's from Urim Publications and available wherever you buy your Jewish books from. I want to thank you very much, and keep us apprised of future endeavors, please.
If I'm ever in Detroit, I'm coming by.
For sure. Okay, that's going to do it. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. Herr Schulfinman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, this is called Sisu V'Simcha. It's by the Soul of the Jewish Music Project, which is a very interesting organization. They've done, dozens of CDs over the years, preserving what I would say is classical Jewish music. A lot of it is like they have different themes, and this one's taken off their Tishrei holiday. This is the month that we're in now, holiday CD, because this is a one for the end of Simchas Torah. Let's listen.
Utnu kavod la Torah, Sisu v'simchu v'simchat Torah. 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 Utnu kavod la Torah. Sisu v'simchu v'simchat Torah. Utnu kavod la Torah. Sisu
ושמחו בשמחת תורה ותנו כבוד לתורה שישו 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 ושמחו בשמחת תורה כבוד לתורה שישו ושמחו או שישו ושמחו או שישו שישו בשמחת תורה שישו ושמחו או שישו ושמחו או שישו שישו בשמחת תורה שישו ושמחו בשמחת תורה ותנו כבוד לתורה שישו ושמחו בשמחת תורה ותנו כבוד לתורה בשמחו בשמחת תורה ותנו כבוד לתורה שישו ושמחו 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 בשמחת תורה ותנו כבוד לתורה.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herr Schulfenman, here you are, listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, a little bit of Klezmer Simchas Torah music. There is a piece which is officially called Simchas Torah. It's not called Simchas Torah, it's called Simchas Torah, with a little Y in the middle of it, which is the Polish way of saying it. We've got a rendition done by Abe Katzman's Babarasin Klezmer Orchestra, Bessarabin Klezmer Orchestra. Let's listen in. Thank you.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next, brand new. This is hours old, actually. At least when we're playing it. I don't know when you're listening to this. But this is Gad Elbaz's new song. It's called I Know.
Something about the scenery, something about this place, can't explain the feeling, makes my heart race. I hear my ancestors, their footsteps echoing, to be so near to them is everything. I live and breathe them, holy mystic air, that ancient era replayed in my ear. I walk with my fathers through our yesterday. Their spirit, their glory will not disappear. And I know why this is home. You're my heart, you're a part of my soul. You're the fire within my soul. I am here, I am here, a time of miracles. Songs that will not disappear. And I know why this is home. You're my heart, you're a part of my soul. You're the fire within my soul. I am here, I am here. A time of miracles.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813, or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com. Herr Schulfenmaner, you are listening to the Jewish Hour. As we said at the onset of the show, that this week is Simchas Torah, begins Sunday night and goes all the way till Tuesday day. The main thing is Monday night. That's when people are inside in the shuls, in the synagogues, dancing away. And to that, I always have a comment that it's written in the Kabbalah, the books of Jewish mysticism, that a person who does not cry on Yom Kippur, well, Yom Kippur is a very serious day. It's a day when we appeal to the Almighty to forgive us for all of our wrongdoings of the past year and to resolve to do good things in the future. It says a person who doesn't feel something that would like lead them to cry, there must be something wrong with their soul. But in that very same paragraph, it says, and what you weren't able to cry on Yom Kippur, you can dance on Simchas Torah. The word Simchas Torah means the happiness of the Torah. What's the Torah so happy about? Well, every year we read the Torah every week, and we finish it in the course of a year. We talk about it every week here on the show. What's the portion of the week that's being read in the synagogue? And there are 53 portions, and it's divided up. And here it is that we're finished. And anytime you finish something good, it's like, yay. But the holiday's not called the Simcha Shel Kriyas HaTorah, the joy of reading the Torah, or Siyumas HaTorah, or the joy of finishing the Torah. It's simply called Simchas Torah, which means the joy of the Torah. The Torah itself is happy. Listen, you guys read me for a whole year over here, from end to end. We can't say cover to cover because it's a scroll, but from end to end. And now it's done. He says, you know what? I want to dance. But I haven't got any legs. Sounds like a Geico commercial. One of those really bad ones, right? Yeah. I haven't got, I guess we had it first, because this is a commentary from 2,000 years ago. I haven't got any legs. But you have legs. So I want you to take me, and I want you to dance with me. And something very interesting, because when you're talking about Torah, Torah is an academic exercise. It's a study. And you have people who have greater insights. You have people who have greater opportunities. You have people who have been doing it their whole lives. And you have people who don't even read Hebrew, that don't even know what the Torah is all about. But guess what? The Torah doesn't care. The Torah just wants to dance. So the greatest scholar and the simplest person on Simchas Torah, exactly the same. We're the legs for the Torah, you might say. And it's through our joy that the very joy of the Torah, now let's inject a parenthesis. How are we going to define Torah? The Torah is defined as the will and wisdom of God. And the will and wisdom of God was given into this world to help facilitate making this world a more godly place. And here it is. This is a milestone. So we are celebrating on behalf and proxy to and together with the Almighty. We are the physical embodiment of that. That's way cool. At the end of Simchas Torah, after the day is done, The sun's already gone down. The holiday is over. The evening prayers have been prayed. An individual from the congregation will go to the desk where the Torah is read and proclaim, Yaakov hailoch ledarko, and Jacob went on his way. It's a verse taken from the portion of Vayetze, which we'll be getting to in just a couple of weeks. When Jacob was promised by the Almighty, don't be afraid, I'll be with you. But here it is now. We've gone through a whole entire month, maybe even you could say 2 months, starting with Elul, when we said the king was in the field and you could approach the Almighty for all the things that you're going to need for the upcoming year. And then the slichos, the penitential prayers, which are said before Rosh Hashanah, then Rosh Hashanah, the 10 days of between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, the 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, the holiday of Sukkot, Simchas Torah. That's a lot to go through. And it's a lot to actually be secluded from the world. And you think about it, during this month, Jews have been involved in non-productivity, meaning we've had a Shabbos or a Yontif 9 days out of the month. And then in Sukkot, it's 9 days in and of itself because there are certain things that cannot be done during the holiday itself. So a possibility of 17 days altogether out of the month are geared to non-productivity. So what do we tell people at the end when it's over? Go hit the road. That doesn't mean it's over. It means when we go back into the world, because this upcoming month, which will be starting in a week, doesn't have any holidays. There's only just the 4 days of Shabbos. That's it. But those are every week. There's no intermediate off days. 6 days you shall work. We're not going back to the same grind. We're now improved. It's 5780. We're in a new year. We've got new vitality. The Almighty gave it to us. And we have to take this month, which is called Chodesh HaShvi'i in the Bible, the seventh month, which should also be read Chodesh HaSeva, the satiator, the full month. Take that fullness and bring it with you for the whole year. Speaking of bringing, we're going to be bringing up a Hasidic story real quick, but we've got to take a quick commercial break. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Would you like to get in touch with me? RabbiFinman.com, right on the home page. Got the contact me. Contact me. I'll contact you. It's all good. What else is on RabbiFinman.com? Well, there's archived editions of the radio show. You can go back many years. You could be traveling from coast to coast to coast and listening to the Jewish Hour the whole way. That's would be way cool. Let me know if you do that. I'd like to know. We also have archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, classes, all ways in which we convey Judaism in an entertaining and interesting, fun way. And the very important donations page. This show costs. It still costs. And it's going to cost. It's. I remember way back in 1994, after about a month or so, and it was on a different radio station, but the program was very successful. As we say, we're still listening for 24 years. And I remember asking the station manager, listen, when do you think I might get like some kind of a free show, you know, where you don't have to pay for it? And she looked at me and said, never. It's 24 years and never still hasn't gotten here yet. We still have to pay every week, and we need your help. We do have commercials. Yes, those only partially offset. For 24 years, every single month, we've needed your help to help keep this quality program on the air. For your listening pleasure, you've been listening now for 52 minutes and change. You like it? Go to RabbiFinman.com and pledge any amount you like. If you want, you can make it monthly, so it's all easy, safe, secure through PayPal. You don't even have to think about it. We do have many of those, and we appreciate them. And they're not big every month. $5 a month is also a something. Don't like internet giving? Okay, understood. Drop your donation, any amount, into an envelope or such, and send it to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Hasidic story time. There was a certain Rebbe whose name was Reb Mordechai Nadvorna. Nadvorna was a city, I think, in White Russia. He was a very prominent rabbi. Sometime in around the 1870s, in this village, town, whatever, I'm not sure what it was. I just know that it's many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms. The city of Nadvorna was experiencing some sort of epidemic, and there's all types of health measures. You could imagine what kind of health measures. It's like, stay home and pray, please. You don't die. That's about all they could do. There are all types of measures that were taken by the administration, the city officials, to help curb the epidemic. There was one judge who was, needless to say, not the friendliest person towards the Jewish community. And he ordered all the sukkahs, the little temporary huts that Jews live in for this week, to be taken down, because that would probably help stave the epidemic. How? Who knows? He wasn't a doctor. He was a judge. But this looked like a time when he could like really get to the Jews. This Mordechai Nadvorna absolutely refused. A policeman was sent and told, listen, you're going to get in trouble if you don't take this thing down. And he looked at this policeman. I mean, this is a policeman in Central Europe as an authoritative figure. You don't just get to be a policeman. You have to be a policeman. And he looked at this policeman and said, I built this thing to be standing up, not to take it down. The policeman reported it back to the judge. The judge was incensed. And he sent a military garrison. I don't know, I mean, a garrison, a couple of, you know, troop, whatever, 12, whatever, 15 soldiers, with the orders that he must take it down or else he was going to suffer serious consequences. Very calmly said, I built that thing to stand, not to take it down. The judge was so incensed that he himself went to this Reb Mordechai and said, what is wrong with you? Do you know what I could do to you? You have to take that thing down. And the judge looked at him and said, Reb Mordechai looked at him and said, let me tell you a story, which didn't make the guy feel any happier, but okay, tell me a story. Said about 50 years ago or so, there lived in the town of Premishlam a certain wealthy businessman, not Jewish, who had 10 sons. And he had this amazing orchard. And he decided one day that he would like to plant flowers. So what did he do? Is he cut down a piece of the orchard and he planted flowers. Shortly after that, his oldest son got sick and then died. And then his number two got sick and died. And one by one, his very strong sons all got sick and died until he had one son left. Someone told him, you should go talk to that Jewish rabbi. He seems to have an in with things. So he went, and he went to this mayor of Premishlam. Premishlam is located also someplace east of Grosse Pointe Farms, and told him his story. And he said, you have cut down, this is what the rabbi said to him, you have cut down those wonderful trees. And it says that man is likened to a tree in the field. It's a verse actually from the Bible. And because you've cut them down, your sons have died. But you came now. I will pray for on behalf of your one son. And he prayed for him, and he was saved. And then this Reb Mordechai looked at him and said, that man who prayed for that one son was my great uncle. That one son for whom he prayed was you. Is that how you're going to pay back my uncle? With that, the judge turned white. He begged forgiveness. And as the story goes, they lived happily ever after. And I hope you do too. It's Simchas Torah. It's a time to be happy. We hope you have a great time on this holiday. Remember, got to dance. Dance your toes off. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care. Badar gi oy